my elect, I have even called you by your name. I have named you, though you have not known me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. There is no God besides me. I will gird you, though you have not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun to its setting that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, us understand what that means, we have to understand that this passage was written somewhere between 150 and 200 years before Cyrus was even born. And as we look back through history, there indeed was a king who was born, and his name was Cyrus. And so we see that God is working in this man's life. And he wants Cyrus. He's going to work through Cyrus to do many mighty things, one of which is bring holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. This verse is repeated in 1 Peter chapter 1. So there we have the New Testament confirmation that the Lord has not changed by the time of the writing of the New Testament. And a familiar verse to us all, I'm sure, in Isaiah chapter 6. We'll read the first three verses here. Isaiah 6 and verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. One cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." You know, when we see something repeated, a specific word is repeated in Scripture, it's kind of, my understanding is that the way in Hebrew that you would emphasize something is that you would repeat it. So instead of saying, the same thought of like, well, we can't multiply something by infinity's infinity. But you want to emphasize, no, it's bigger than your infinity. Well, in the same way, it's holy, holy, holy. But you can't, when you say the Lord's holy, he's holy. You can't make holy more holy, but in an attempt to emphasize the holiness of God, it's repeated three times. Revelation chapter 3, so we've had two Old Testament examples. We've had a reference, 1 Peter chapter 1, it's in verses 15 and 16, where that Leviticus 19 verse is repeated. We have a New Testament example where the Lord declares that he is holy. Here in Revelation chapter 3, and verse 7, it says, "And the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things said he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens." So here we have, in our current dispensation, God declaring through the Lord Jesus Christ himself as God declaring his holiness. And then in Revelation 15, in verse 4, Revelation 15 and 4, it says, "Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy, for all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested." So here, I hope, you know, we could go on. We could find more verses that speak of the holiness of God. But, you know, the plain teaching of Scripture is that God is holy. Completely set apart from sin. John would put it this way in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. He's completely pure. Completely pure. There's no full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the sardis, topaz, and diamond, beryl, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. So, to my understanding, this is the earliest record of a being committing sin. Here attributed to this anointed cherub, we know as Lucifer. It's interesting to note that God did not create Satan or the devil. Okay? He didn't create Satan or the devil. He created Lucifer. He created this anointed cherub who, as we saw over and over in this passage, was perfect in all his ways. So God didn't create Satan or the devil. That is what he became. One has said, undoubtedly, evil as an act is not the direct working of God, but the spontaneous work of a creature endowed with freedom. So, Lucifer was created in perfection. He had a job to do. We saw that here, and he also had freedom. And it was in that freedom that he chose. So over to Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14 and a more thorough, perhaps, treating of the fall of Lucifer. Here in Isaiah 14, beginning of verse 12. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to the shale, to the lowest depths of the pit. So, in his pride, Lucifer declared that he would be like God. Apparently he had been created with freedom of his will and actions. Much like men and women are created with freedom of our will. You know, it's interesting, we spoke about pride just this past Sunday. And perhaps at times we kind of, it's just pride. No, it's pride. And pride, again, from what we understand in Scripture, was the first sin to come into our, what we understand of our universe. Back in Ezekiel 28 and 17, it says, your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. said to the woman,